Yes, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Foster.
Oh, Jeannie. Thanks for putting an arrow on that door.
Meeting to order in the HW.
All this time I...
Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft.
Present.
Jim Gresham.
Present.
Linda Little.
Here.
Evan Greenfield.
Here.
Elena Buckner.
Here.
Matt Brown. Laura Zimmerman.
Here.
We have 7 of 7 for present.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone.
Could you use a mic? I can't hear anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. They told me to move down here. Well.
No, you got to be smarter than
that. Sorry,
the mic.
I didn't know that was going to be a challenge for you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. All since we do have the call-in, we do have to do roll call vote on all items. So I'm asking for approval of minutes from 3/23/20.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion, a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Aye.
Roll call.
Yeah. Just said that.
Oh, soon you forget, right? Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry. Old habits.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Matt Brown.
Okay.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, do I have a motion on the claims?
Make a motion to approve the claims as presented.
Second.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Matt Brown.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. All right. Jennifer.
All right, the first one tonight is R-01-06-20, was a petition filed by Nutrien Ag Solutions. Kevin Foreman requesting to rezone approximately 11.91 acres from A1 agricultural zoning to M1 light industrial zoning. Property is commonly located at 9650 Heeman Road in Illini Township. On June 3rd, a Public Zoning Board of Appeals hearing was held, and based on the finding of facts and staff recommended approval, the Zoning Board of Appeals voted 5-0 for approval of the rezoning.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Matt Brown.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little. I just have a question. Were there any objectors?
No.
No.
Okay. Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
The second one is S-02-04-20. Was a petition filed by Village of Forsyth requesting a special use permit for a municipal well and associated apparatus in A1 agricultural zoning. The property is commonly known are commonly located at half a mile north of the intersection of North Brush College and East School Road in Moroa Township. On June 3rd, a Zoning Board of Appeals hearing was held, and based on the finding of facts and staff recommended approval, the Zoning Board of Appeals voted 5-0 for approval of the special use permit with the stipulations that are in the resolution.
Matt is here from Chastain. If anyone has any questions that they would like to address to him, I'm sure he'll answer them at this time.
Do we need a motion and a second first?
Do I have a motion then?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
Then discussion. I apologize. Do you have any questions? And we do have correspondence. That.
Yeah, what are the issues here?
Well, there's several, but
the
The landowners, number one, are concerned. They have two concerns, or well, they have several concerns, but they're concerned of their property wells going dry. And then on the north side of where they want it, some of those are concerned about the water overflow onto their property.
And then,
how many gallon a minute are them wells going to pump, or where? That's just one well, correct?
Correct.
And what's the gallon per minute?
You got that map?
The intent. Do I need to come up?
Yeah.
Matt Foster, Chastain and Associates, village engineer for Village of Forsyth. The intent is to get a 1,000 GPM well out of this site, which is basically the same size as well number 6, which is a half mile south. I would like to add one thing, if that's possible. The property owners of the actual property we're purchasing do not have any problems. It is some of the adjoining property owners that have questions and issues. So that's who we are addressing. But the actual property owners of the field are all on board with this work.
So my question, in the event that the fears of the neighbors come true and their wells are negatively impacted, are they just SOL?
Well, the nearest wells to this new site is the Village of Forsyth's well, which is a half mile south, and the property owner's well for the site that they bought it from, who happens to be a village employee. So the first wells that would be impacted by this both have direct connections to the Village of Forsyth, and so everybody else's well is well over a mile away. And
but were you going to abandon the one well?
The well 6, no. Well 6 will remain in production.
So this is Laura. I had a question that was kind of similar. In the meeting minutes from the zoning board, there were a lot of, technical questions that kind of related to, how much water they could draw and those concerns about the flooding and stuff. And it indicated that those questions would be resolved in, different phases. And so my question is, if we just focus on the use of the land, right, in terms of zoning, but are there other steps that there's public input on, like once they find out that information, are there other steps that, that have to be checked? So what I'm asking, is it a done deal if we approve this, or is there other steps that have to occur
yeah.
where the public can put in their input as well?
As far as public input, I'm not sure what all the other steps are involved. I'm sure that there are ways that people can work with the state water survey or USGS. Those are the whoever we are when this well goes into production, we have to get it into the state system as far as they have to log that the well is there, how much it produces, what it's drawing, etc., who owns it, all that stuff. And so there are other governmental agencies that will be involved during the design process in order for us to proceed and obtain a well at this location that is approved for use.
What's the reason for drilling the new what, for expansion, or are you selling water? Do you currently service Orianna? Do you sell water to Orianna?
Yes, the village serves services Orianna as well as their 30 3,500 or so residents. The well is intended to primarily be, at this point in time, a backup of the existing well number 6 that was put in about 20 years ago. It still has quite a long life for it, but the village's backup wells at this point in time cannot equal the production of well number 6. Even if they're turned on, they have 3 other wells left. One of them is in town. It's one of the small original wells. It would be good in a pinch, but it does not produce anywhere near enough water for to service the village's system and Oriana's system. They have 2 other wells that are going up north, up the old railroad right of way. Those can only be run 1 at a time, and so if you take the peak production of that one well there, turn on the other well, it is still a couple hundred gallons per minute short of well number 6. So the intent right now is for well 7 to be a backup of well 6, but as demand grows and increases in the area, eventually they could be run at the same time.
About how deep are them wells?
200 and I believe it's 270 feet deep.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're in the aquifer.
They are in the Muhammad Aquifer. One of the benefits of well 7, why we wanted to go north some, is that gets us further into the Muhammad Aquifer, giving us a better water source, a better area to draw from.
I know in Long Creek, in our wells, you try to have so much water above the well.
Yes.
So make sure you're drawing down instead of drawing up.
Yes.
So how much water do you perceive to be above the wellhead?
We have not gotten into that.
What's it like on the other one? Do you have any idea?
I don't have the exact numbers on the other one at this point. There is a substantial amount of water that's built up over the top of those. So,
I mean, for me, my only concern is if a neighbor's well does go dry, which is a possibility, that Forsyth would drill a new well. I think that would only be fair.
Yeah, but that gets into the legality issues and the first wells that are going to be impacted by this new well are theirs, and since they put in well 6 on the right adjacent to another property owner's, the village employee's property, they did drill him a new well to get down to that excess depth, and the nearest wells that I could see on the state GIS website were miles away, and we don't even anticipate this new well even impacting this other the existing village well a half mile away. So it's, if they start running a well dry, the first one that they're going to run into is the villages. So, and that process is monitored during the design process and the actual testing of the wells to determine the capacity of it.
Was there any discussion of this in ZBA about the possibility of that?
Yes.
Was there anything suggested or?
Nope. As far as the ZBA, they did not suggest anything.
I mean, I would set a time frame. I mean, I know if I lived out there, I don't care if I was a couple miles away, it pissed me off. My well went dry as soon as they started drilling, if they drill a new well. Now, I think there should be a time frame, a year or whatever, 2 years. What?
It's 18 months, isn't it?
But
with a special use permit anyway.
No, it's if
no, I mean, if the well would.
You're talking about the construction of it. I don't know that.
But
I don't have the answer to that.
I mean, Forsyth can't be on the hook for everybody's well out there if it goes, but, you know, under a limited amount of time, if it went dry, I'd sure tend to think that that's could have been a cause of it. And I think some of the other towns do the same thing. I mean, if they drill a new well, that if it affects a neighbor, or, you know, then they'll stand behind it.
There's no questions. I do have correspondence, and I think I am to address this at this time, unless there's more questions. Yeah. Correct? Okay. The first, it's lengthy, so bear with me. And I do not know the gentleman's address, but it's Roy Groves, and he owns property on the northwest corner. And we emailed, received that map. Okay. My name is Roy Groves, and I own the property in Section 18 north of 160 acres across the road from this proposed well site. I'm against the proposed Forsyth Municipal well permit due to no information about the size and water quantity to be supplied by this proposed well. The Village of Forsyth refused at the June 3rd, 2020 Zoning Board meeting to give any details about what they plan to construct regarding well size and capacity. Forsyth said the well is not designed yet, so we have no size numbers yet. I asked if the zoning board minutes would be forwarded to the EEHW committee along with all correspondence the board received prior to the June 3rd meeting, and I could not get an answer about all the correspondence. So I am sending the papers and pictures and the proposed well site that I sent to the zoning board. It has been acknowledged that my registered mail envelope was received on 6/22/20, which contained pictures and documents regarding the proposed well site that were submitted to ZBA on 6/3/20. 3 minutes to speak is not enough time to comment on the issues surrounding the Forsyth Municipal well permit. I have been told that no new issues can be brought up. I spoke at the June 3rd, 2020 zoning meeting and brought up to Mr. Foster, the Forsyth representative, about the Decatur well field in DeWitt County. He said he has not studied the well field data. This well field that pumps water from the same Mahomet aquifer that this new well will draw from is well documented as to have caused well pump failures and well failures in the past because of water level drawdown in the various area wells. One of the zoning board members brought up the possibility of negative effects on the surrounding wells, and Mr. Foster's reply was they have not designed the well yet. I have been involved in the Decatur well field since it has been completed and put into operation on several occasions. I am enclosing some of the facts about the Decatur well field since Mr. Foster has not studied the well field. Over the years since the Decatur well field in DeWitt County has been used to supply water to Lake Decatur, several wells have run dry or have been destroyed by the heavy drawdown on the water level in the Mahomet aquifer that Forsyth wants to drill into Section 17. One specific well that was destroyed and had to be replaced is located about 1.5 miles west of this proposed well location on Section 17. I'm enclosing a copy of the Herald and Review newspaper article dated October 14th of 2012, written by Allison Petty, staff writer. In this article, it states that the Richard Thomas well went dry and burned up the pump and casing because of the drawdown in the aquifer well level at the Decatur well field in DeWitt County, Section 36, 1 mile north of the DeWitt-Macon County line north of Argenta. The Thomas Well is about 8.5 miles southwest of the Decatur Well Field and about 1.5 miles west of the proposed Forsyth Well that the Village of Forsyth does not have any plans or ideas on what size of well they plan to construct on Section 17. This information is being supplied because of Forsyth's unknown well plans as stated at the June 3, 2020 zoning meeting. This is a direct reply to the zoning board member who asked at the June 3, 2020 meeting, will there be any interference with the neighboring water wells around the proposed Section 17 Forsyth well site? Yes, there was more water being pumped per day than the one proposed Section 17 well may supply, but the drawdown of the water level from 8.5 miles away in the same aquifer the Forsyth well will be pumping from with an unknown well size leaves open the probability of surrounding wells next to the Forsyth well possibly having water drawn down issues and possibly running out of water. The Forsyth well size needs to be taken into consideration before a permit is issued, so there is not a repeat of the water level drawdown as demonstrated can happen in October 2012 at the Thomas property, 1.5 miles west of this proposed site. A lot of the surrounding wells are probably shallow wells. Larry Groves brought up this issue for his well located 2.5 miles west at a well depth of 70 feet at the June 3, 2020 zoning meeting. This well size is critical information that needs to be stated before the zoning permit is issued so the surrounding neighbors can be aware of the possible negative effects. Running out of water can have on each of their wells. If Forsyth has given a permit to drill an unknown diameter size with an unknown size capacity water input, the size and capacity information goes directly to the purpose of this environmental education, health, and welfare meeting of the surrounding neighbors near the location of the surrounding well. Forsyth representative Mr. Foster stated at the June 3, 2020 meeting that there would be a possibility that Forsyth would shut down two older wells and rely more on this new well and the 16-inch well located 1.5 mile south of the proposed site. It could be logically assumed that with the shutdown of two older wells, that this new well probably would be a larger size and capacity to provide adequate replacement and to add capacity to the Forsyth water treatment needs in the future. One of the Decatur well field wells located in Section 36 DeWitt County is 20 inches in diameter, just 4 inches larger casing than the existing well 1.5 mile south of the proposed well. This 20-inch well was test pumped per well data on May 8, 1991 at the rate of 3,000 gallons per minute for 3 hours with a water level drawdown from 87 foot to 109 foot water level after 3 hours pumping test. Would a new well this size cause interference with the neighboring wells? That is what Forsyth has to determine. It is my opinion that Forsyth should provide a general estimate of the well size they are proposing when applying for this zoning permit and not wait until the permit is issued to state the well size and the probable effects caused by the neighboring wells. It is also my opinion that Forsyth needs to set up a well problem resolution similar to the Decatur well field, stating that any interference caused by this new well to neighboring wells will be fixed by lowering the pump in existing wells or drilling a new well at Forsyth's expense for any known or future water problems that are caused by the water drawdown from this new well. Thank you, Roy Groves. Thank you for your patience. That was long. I have one other letter. This letter is from Evelyn Fischel, 170 Jack Lane, Forsyth, Illinois. Dear Ms. Gunter and EEHW committee members, This letter is in regard to the Village of Forsyth wanting to install a municipal well and associated apparatus at the property located 1 mile, 1/2 mile north of the intersection of North Branch College Road at East School Road, Maroa Township, PIN 10-03-17-300-003. As owner of the adjacent land to the north, I have two major concerns. First and foremost, with a million or more gallons of water being pumped for a 24-hour period as a testing procedure, my biggest concern would be soil erosion and water running onto my field. The ditches would not be able to keep up with the flow of water and would almost undoubtedly back up into my field. If the field has already been planted, there would be an issue of the crop being flooded out. Will there be an agreement with the Village of Forsyth that I would be compensated for that damage? The engineer for Chastain, who was present at the zoning board meeting of June 3, 2020, stated that perhaps grass could be planted to help with soil erosion issues. Grass cannot be planted on my farm as an erosion issue. Also, the surrounding area water wells may be affected by lowering the water table as a result of adding additional pumping station in the same area. This could put someone out of water much quicker, especially in a drought situation, as some wells are already shallow. Because of the above stated concerns, I'm opposed to this project in its current location. I would like to request a written response addressing these issues. Thank you for your time and consideration. Sincerely, Evelyn Fischel. And I want to thank these folks for their correspondence. It's much appreciated.
I have a question. Is there a reason why Forsyth doesn't have more information before applying for this?
I don't have that answer.
At this point, we have been directed that once we got the decent water sample from this location to proceed with the subdivision and move on to the closer to the well construction phase in order to save some money and be able to combine the work. Typically, one of the ways of doing it is to, when you're building a well, is to drill a test hole, which you pull a sample out of to see what the water quality is at that location. Then you would move into a test well phase in order to determine how much you can pump at that location. But if you have a lot of flexibility in how much you're allowed to, what is acceptable in terms of the well capacity, you can combine those two steps in order to make it a more efficient construction project, and you drill the actual well and then do a test pump on that to determine the capacity, and then you basically get what you get. The goal is 1,000 GPM, which was stated at the meeting. That is the capacity we're looking for. But if we end up with a 600 GPM well that can operate safely without impacting other wells, namely the village's primary well, then that is actually still a benefit to the village. It's not what we're hoping for, but it is an acceptable addition. So the decision was made to combine those two steps into one to streamline the process.
As far as them talking about water running across their field, Matt, it's really only a one-time deal when you test the well and you pump it out. I mean, I think that's what we did in Long Creek. When we drilled a new well, you got to run water through it for a 24-hour period or whatever it was.
Yes, that's correct. It is a one-time It's a one-time test. I hesitate to throw a number on it, but I believe it's an 18-hour test, and you run it at a higher rate than what you're hoping for. So you run it at a rate higher than what you're hoping for 18 hours, and you monitor the water level as it goes up and down in that time period to make sure that you are not negatively impacting the water level of the aquifer, or at least that you've got a record of what you're impacting. And the issues that Mr. Groves is having is going back to the original well 6, which is the half mile south, and when that test pump was done, it was pumped out into a roadside ditch that apparently did not drain very well. But in this case, there is a ditch that appears to drain better, but it is on his property. So that's where we're at. Am I allowed to address one of the other issues that they brought up?
I think so.
When they had mentioned planting grass as erosion control on the farm field, that was out of context. That comment was specifically relating to after the site is developed, we will be placing grass on the village's site to control runoff. That was not intended to be some kind of a fix during this temporary pumping process.
That's how I understood it.
Yeah.
Too. It would be after.
Yes,
and
we have discussed internally multiple options for trying to address any negative impacts to erosion, any kind of erosion situation during the test pump if that causes problems, trying to do something in advance as well. So
but there's no houses within a mile or 2 miles of where you're drilling that well. I'm talking as a crow flies, not as a road goes.
Yes, as a crow flies. The closest house is Lynn Summers, who lives at the corner of – he's a half mile away. He lives at the corner of Brush College and School Road.
The next closest house is this one, which is another two-thirds of a mile west of Lynn's house. And so it is – still, it's over a half a mile away. So, but that would be the next house closest. We're talking about right here, and so we've got another half mile up this direction. We've got a mile over to these here. So the next closest house is here and here. Both are over a half mile away.
Within a mile radius. Or a half mile. How many houses are you talking about?
Within a half mile radius?
Well, let's say a mile.
Within a mile radius, I have not actually done that number, but on the map, we're talking about.
In a half mile radius, what?
Half mile, one. Within a half mile, there's one house.
I don't remember when the city of Decatur drilled their wells up in DeWitt County. I know they had an agreement that if some of the wells went dry, they would stand behind it. But I don't know what.
Well,
I know they were drilling a well field.
Yeah, we briefly reviewed the capacity of those wells, and we're talking they've got 10 times the capacity of what we're planning on putting in here. The one well that he mentioned has a 3,000 GPM rate, and there are six or seven wells at least out there, I believe. I don't have the exact numbers, but we're talking a factor of 10.
Well, they were running the river down the waterway.
Yes.
What they were doing.
Yeah.
But if, like you said, you're tied into the aquifer, if you're not worried about it, then I wouldn't worry about giving these people the guarantee that you're going to guarantee their well for 2 years or whatever. I mean, you shouldn't have anything to lose.
Again, I can't make any guarantees personally, and we have not been directed to move on to that. We have not been directed to move on to that step. So we are at a point where our direction has been obtain the property with the intent to build to do the test well and the production well on this site, and that process would occur during that step.
But it's something EHW could put in their stipulations, correct?
Yes, which the zoning that they have to abide, and which I think I had all this sent to you yesterday, the administrative code. The zoning approved with the stipulation that they abide by these steps.
Correct. They have to abide by the state and federal regulations.
That's how, and so if we want more stipulations, I guess we could add them at this time.
Mm-hmm. The state water survey has to approve this well, you know, the permit
there's
for it. And there's other,
yet.
I mean, so there's other government agencies that have to approve this. Well, all we're looking at is just the use of the land on
correct.
This
the
right
special
here.
Special use permit yeah. to use the land. And I have spoken with Ms. Fischel and Larry Groves and, of course, Mr. Groves. I know Matt Brown, and I think you probably have too, Kevin, spoken with Roy Groves. And I know the group of landowners, they've got a meeting planned, and they're going to have a list of issues that they're going to address with their road commissioner and with the village of Forsyth, and that's what they should do, probably. And I encouraged them to do that. And they all have legitimate concerns. But
this goes to the full board, correct, Deb?
This will, yes. Any other questions? We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft?
Yes.
Elena Butcher?
Aye.
Matt Brown?
Aye.
Jim Gresham?
Aye.
Linda Little?
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman?
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Subdivisions.
All right, I got a one-lot minor subdivision located in Moroa Township. The owners are Ken Stemmler and Patricia Wetzel. This property is farm ground located in the north, and then half a mile north of the intersection of North Brush College Road and East School Road in Moroa Township. The property is owned A1 agricultural zoning. The lot size is 1 acre, and staff has reviewed all the documents, and staff recommends approval.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Deborah Kraft?
Yes.
Elena Buckner?
Aye.
Matt Brown?
Aye.
Jim Gresham?
Aye.
Linda Little?
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman?
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. On to the reports. Animal control. Jeff submitted his in writing. I believe you all have that. Veterans assistance. Greg?
Good evening. I haven't had a chance to speak to you guys, obviously. I have been listening to the meetings online. I just wanted to give you a kind of an update on what's going on with my office. I did hire a young man named Neil Coburn. He's a 100% service-connected Navy vet with a degree from Milliken. I am going to go ahead and train him this year just for the simple fact that they're not going to be allowing – they're not going to be doing training in Illinois next year, so I don't want to send him to Reno, Nevada to do his training. So we're going to go ahead and do that this year and get that out of the way. I think he'll be long-term, so Anthony Taylor, my volunteer, is back in the office full-time, so I got the whole crew back.
That's good.
We did VetPro reached out to us in March, and one of the reasons – it's a software that we use. The reason we haven't went with them is because the $12,000 to $15,000 startup costs, well, they waived all that with the COVID, and so we did try it, and it's unbelievable. I can send documents to your smartphone, iPhone, Android, and you can sign directly on your phone, and then I can directly submit it to the VA. So it saves a lot of mailing and a lot of time, and I'm able to do unbelievable amount of claims now.
That's good.
And the IDVA office over here has been shut down completely, not even in the office. So I've actually been picking up some of their work and bringing them into the office to help out as well. The printer in the office is out of contract, but we're going to go ahead and keep it, and we'll just run it till the wheels fall off of it. And Help for Heroes. We started the Hope Restored program whenever this all went down, where anybody who lost their job, any veteran who lost their job due to COVID, we were giving out $100 gift cards. And we did get a lot of feedback, especially bartenders and things right in the beginning. It kind of died off, but the commission wants me to leave it alive till we know when this is going to be over. We also did Salvation Army when they were shutting down their they were raising money to keep their shelter open. Help for Heroes, our office donated $600 for 4 days of that. So I was really proud to do that. And then we actually sponsored the Vietnam Veterans Era Group thing down here at the Civic Center this year. They, of course, couldn't do it, so it will roll over to next year, and we'll continue that. It's a great event. If you guys have never been there, like 400 people, 400 mainly Vietnam veterans show up. It's a, with Help for Heroes, we did purchase 20 more fans this year. We'll give them out as needed. This month alone, in July here coming up, anyone who makes a donation to Help for Heroes, we're going to give them a 3x5 Valley Forge flag. Feel free to bring in your tattered flags. Actually, Mr. Chairman Greenfield gave us a real nice box down there in the office to take the flags in. So bring your flag in, make a donation, and I'll give you a new one. They were kind of expensive, but I'm trying to partner with somebody to get more in bulk. But
didn't UCCI provide us a box too last fall?
I think that might be where it's from. I just know you guys brought it down to me.
Okay.
Emergency assistance, we've given out only $7,278.42 so far, but mainly that's due to Ameren's not sending them out bills and they're not cutting off their power. So give it a few months here and I'm sure they'll be back in the office. The Honor Guard did start back this week. They did 3 funerals this week, which I'm very glad. We had a personal vet of mine that I did a claim on passed away, and his wife called me. She's like, Greg, what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to get? He's like, all he wanted was a 21-gun salute. And I mean, I'm doing her DIC claim, and she's not worried about the money or anything else. She's worried about this 21-gun salute. So I'm ecstatic that we're back to doing that. And at the same time, I started back our DAV van. It is running Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like it always has. We can only carry 3 passengers, and the driver has to get out and wipe down handles and things like that, whatever the VA is telling them to do over there. But it's back and running, so we're slowly pushing that back in. And I would like to give you all, as I said, I was listening on these meetings, and I know things are pretty tough right now, but I would like to give you all a hand. your leadership. I'm very proud to be here, and that goes for the office holders as well. They've all helped me with all this, you know, and our veterans haven't fallen behind, so thank you for all that.
Well, thank you.
And that's all I got.
Thank you, Greg. And
report. Thank you.
Very good report, and you're continuing. Kathy's, you're just, we haven't missed a beat, and I'm very grateful to you, as the rest of us are, too.
Thank you.
Okay. Planning and zoning anymore?
No report.
Health department, Brandy submitted hers by email, and you should have all received a copy, correct?
I sent that just before the meeting.
Okay. Environmental management, Nick called, and he had no report, but he will have a report next month about his collections. Regional Office of Education, nothing. Mental health, nothing. Historical Museum, U of I. I'm sorry, we did animal control. Okay, citizens' remarks. We have no citizens' remarks. No old business, no new business. We do not need a closed session. Next meeting, 7/23/2020. Hopefully, we'll be back to normal by then. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Do we need a roll call vote? All in favor, aye, aye, aye. Thank you so much. Thanks for putting up with me, and thank you.